நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேண்டோ 8 சாப்டர் 22 சாப்டர் என்டைட்டில்ட் பலி மகாராஜ் சரண்டர்ஸ் இஸ் லைஃப் டெக்ஸ்ட் நம்பர் 33. இந்திரசேன மகாராஜ யாஹி போ பத்ரமஸ்து மே சுதலம் ஸ்வர்கி பிப்ரார்த்யம் ஜ்யாதிபி பரிவாரிதஹ. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O Bali Maharaj, Indrasena, now you may go to the planet Sutala, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives. All good fortune unto you. Purport: Bali Maharaj was transferred from the heavenly planet to the planet Sutala, which is hundreds of times better than heaven, as indicated by the words Swargibhi Prarthyam. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead deprives his devotee of material opulences, this does not mean that the Lord puts him into poverty. Rather, the Lord promotes him to a higher position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not ask Bali Maharaj to separate from his family. Instead, the Lord allowed him to stay with his family members. So I seek the blessings of all the devotees for attempting to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So in today's verse, Vamanadeva is telling to Bali Maharaj to go to the Sutala planet. In fact, Vamanadeva is saying that this Sutala planet is actually more opulent than the heavenly planets. It is desired even by the demigods in heaven. And then he says to Bali Maharaj to live there peacefully along with his friends and relatives. All good fortune unto you. So Srila Prabhupada makes a nice point in the purport. He is saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead did not ask Bali Maharaj to separate from his family. Instead, the Lord allowed him to stay with his family members. So, in this regard, we see that many times when a person takes to spirituality, sometimes people have the misconception that if you have to take to spiritual life, one has to cut off one's relation with his family members. But here, Vamanadeva is telling to Bali Maharaj, you can stay with your relatives and family members. And he's saying that all good fortune unto you. So, spiritual life is not actually simply about, it's not about simply cutting off one's relation with the family members or relatives. It is actually about developing an attachment towards Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. So basically, there are two principles. One has to develop attachment towards Krishna and the devotees, and one has to develop detachment towards anything which is not related to Krishna. Even in the first canto, I was reading yesterday, when Parikshit Maharaj asked a question to Shukdev Goswami, he says that, please tell me, what is the subject matter which is to be heard, chanted and remembered? Please also tell me, what is not to be heard, chanted and remembered? So he wants to know what one should hear. He also wants to know that what one should not hear. So, when a devotee is actually, when a person is trying to progress on the spiritual path, one has to be always conscious of Krishna, at the same time one has to be cautious of Maya. There are certain things which will make a person more and more conscious of Krishna, which will develop one's, increase one's attachment towards Krishna, and certain things which will actually decrease one's attachment towards Krishna. So one has to accept what is favorable and one has to reject what is unfavorable. So certain, sometimes in somebody's case, associating with family members may be an impediment for progressing in Krishna consciousness. So in that case, a devotee, without disrespecting the family members, he does not associate with them. So association basically means having a emotionally filled dealings with the other person. So when, if a person is not practicing Krishna consciousness, then he does not associate with them, but a person does not disrespect such a person. In fact, this principle is, it is not that sometimes when a person hears that one has to, one should not associate with the non-devotees, one may think, what a fanatic process it is, that one should not associate with those who are not practicing Krishna consciousness. But actually, even in the material platform, suppose if a person wants to achieve success in a particular field, he actually keeps an association with those people who also who are also progressing on the same path. Suppose if a person wants to get success in a particular competitive exam, so he has to associate with other people who are also preparing for the exam. If he associates with other students who are like drunkards, who are not at all studying, then it will not be helpful for him. So this principle is actually is applicable in any path. So but then not associating with non-devotees means basically, does not mean one should not disrespect them, but basically one should not associate with them in the sense that one should not give one's heart to them. So we see in the instructions of Rishabhadev, when Lord Rishabhadev was instructing his sons, he begins his instruction by saying, Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke kashtan kaman arhati vidbujamye. He's saying, the purpose of human form of life is not simply to enjoy sense gratification, which is available even in the species of like dogs and hawks. In fact, the purpose of any person who has got a material body, purpose of especially human beings, is to actually inquire, is actually to perform tapasya, and so that he can ultimately achieve liberation. Tapo divyam putraka yena sitvam. One has to perform tapasya in order to situate oneself in the divine position of devotional service to the Lord. Shuddhyet yasmat brahma saukyam tvanantam. So the purpose of human form of life is to get unlimited happiness. Brahma, the happiness in the transcendental platform, which is unlimited. Brahma saukyam anantam. So to get a human form of life is very rare. And after getting a human form of life, to get the association of devotees is even more rare. I always give this example. Like there is this particular verse spoken by Lord Shiva in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Kastvabja naba vijahati pandito. Lord Shiva says, which learned person will not worship you? So that means, somebody is not worshipping the Supreme Lord, although he may be materially very much learned, he is not considered to be learned. He is saying, which learned person will not worship you? He says that even my great forefathers like Lord Brahma, the different Manus, they performed devotional service to you without any hesitation. So in the Parparshila Prabhupada says, Lord Brahma and the different Manus, they have got a long lifespan. Lord Brahma's lifespan is, one day of Lord Brahma is like 311 trillion and 40 billion years. And Manus, they live for 70 Divya Yugas. One Divya Yuga is the four Yugas combined. That is 43,20,000 years. But then it is described, Lord Brahma and the different Manus, they perform devotional service of Supreme Lord without any hesitation. So Prabhupada says that they felt that their life is very short. So we should not waste time and we should perform devotional service. Without wasting a single moment. Like, I give this example. Suppose a person is preparing for an exam. Suppose somebody is preparing for a competitive exam, or devotees prepare for Bhakti Shastri exam. It's going to come after 2-3 months. So he thinks, okay, still 2 months are left, maybe I'll start preparing after 1 month. But then he sees another person studying 5 hours a day, preparing for Bhakti Shastri exam. And then some of you come to know that he is giving the exam after 3 years. Then you wonder, if you are going to give the exam after 3 years, why are you studying 4 hours a day? Then when he sees that somebody is preparing for the exam, which he is going to give after many years, but with so much of seriousness, then just by seeing that, one should actually become more serious. That means this exam is something that is going to be very difficult. That is why this person is working so hard to prepare for the exam. So similarly, when we see that Lord Brahma and the different Manus, who got such a long lifespan, but they are preparing in such a way, without wasting a moment by performing devotional service, then what to speak of the human beings who got a very tiny lifespan of 50 years or 60 years. How much more one should be serious in preparing for the exam. So that is why this human form of life is very rare. But many times people say, oh, to take to spirituality, you can take after 50 years. There is so much of time is there. Why to worry now? But we see from this example that Lord Brahma, they perform devotional service to you, to the Supreme Lord, without any hesitation, without wasting a moment, although they have a long lifespan. So Rishabhadev is saying, that is why the purpose of human form of life is to perform tapasya, so that one can situate oneself in the transcendental position of devotional service, and by which one can get unlimited Brahman happiness. Happiness in the spiritual platform. Brahma Saukyam Tvanantam. Then in the next verse he says, how to get that infinite spiritual happiness? He is saying, Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes. One should, in order to get spiritual happiness, one should associate with the saintly people, saintly persons, or one should render service to the saintly persons, and one should not, and then he is saying, by rendering service to the saintly persons, one can achieve liberation. But by associating with people who are attached to sense gratification, one will actually go to hell. Saying, Mahatsveram Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes, Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. So in this way, he's saying that to get Brahman happiness, one has to associate or serve the saintly people, and one should not associate with those who are attached to sense gratification. And then he mentions there are two kinds of saintly people. One is those who are impersonalists, and another is the devotees. And he gives the characteristics of both of them. He says the impersonalists, they are equipoised, they do not see any difference, and samachitta prashanta, and they are very peaceful. And the devotees, they have a very sincere heart. They are also equipoised and they are also peaceful. And more than that, their intelligence and mind is fixed on the Supreme Lord. So when a person serves the impersonalists, then one will get liberation. And when a person serves the devotees, then he will get personal liberation, in the sense that he will actually get a personal associate of the personal association of the Lord in the spiritual world. Then in the third verse, he gives specific characteristic of the second type of saintly person, that is, especially talks about the devotees. He says, Yeva Maishe Krita Sambhratata Janeshu Deha Baravartikeshu. He is talking about the devotees. He is saying, those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness, those who are devotees, they are only interested in increasing their love towards Krishna. Their goal is to develop, to get Krishna prem. And such devotees, they are not attached to family, wealth, or relatives, or any kind of sense gratification. Although they may be householders. He is saying that they are not householders. They may be householders, but they are not attached to family and relatives. So Prabhupada says that, Prabhupada translates in this way. He says, they are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders. Nor are they attached to wives, children, friends or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. So they may be in the householder life, and they are not indifferent to the execution of duties, but they are not attached to the different objects. And then he says, such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. So they may be earning money, but for the purpose of serving the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Rishabhadev is, in the beginning instructions, he's telling that one should associate with the devotees, and the characteristic of a devotee is they are not attached to family, wealth, etc. In fact, he goes on to say, he speaks that famous verse, he says, Pumsa Striya Maituni Bhavam Evam. He says that the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Because of this attraction, it actually increases it increases attachment towards family, relatives, children, etc. So when we see the beginning instructions of Rishabhadev, it is so heavy. He's saying that how one should not be attached to family members, children, wealth, etc. But then towards the end of his instruction, he speaks another verse. In that verse, he says, Tasmat bhavanto hridayena jata sarve mahiyasam urasam sunabam. He is telling to his sons, my dear boys, you are all born from my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. So, Prabhupada makes a very interesting point, especially about this point. Rishabhadev is telling to his sons, you are all born from my heart. So, Prabhupada says that actually a child takes birth through genitals. But then here, Rishabhadev is saying that you are all born from my heart. So, that means the state of the heart, it determines the child which is going to take birth. So, he is mentioning this point. And then he says, therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. You should accept your brother Bharata and serve him. So, this is very interesting. Because in the beginning of his instruction, Rishabhadev said, he was condemning that how one should not have attachment to family, relatives, etc. But here, at the end of the instruction, he is saying, you should serve your brother Bharat. Bharat Maharaj is, after all, the brother of all the other sons of Rishabhadev. He is telling them to serve his brother. So it may be contradictory. One may think that why is Rishabhadev telling him to be attached to his brother, which he condemned in the beginning. So the reason is, Rishabhadev is saying that Bharat is the best, not only your brother, Bharat is the best of the great devotees. So, not only Rishabhadev is saying that I said that you should not be attached to family and relatives, but I also said that you should serve a pure devotee of the Lord. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktis. And Bharat Maharaj is the best of the devotees. So if you serve him, it will be the cause of your devotional service and liberation. Therefore, you should serve Bharat Maharaj. But then the sons, they ask the question, but then how can we worship Bharat Maharaj? Because he is equal to us. Somebody who is equal to us, we feel reluctant to worship such a person. So he is equal to us. He is our brother. How can we worship him? So Rishabhdev is saying, do not have material vision. Do not think in terms of, oh, because he is equal to you because he is your brother. Do not have material vision. Worship with your intelligence. Rishabhdev is saying that aklishta buddhya. Worship with your pure intelligence. Do not have material vision. Then the sons, they say, so we worship you because you are our father and you are the supreme personality of God. And we worship the great sages like Narada Muni and other sages because by worshipping them and by serving them, we actually get devotional service. It is the cause of our devotional service when we serve great sages like Narada and others. And we actually protect the citizens because that is our duty. Because we are the princes, it is our duty to protect the citizens. Then why to worship Bharat? So Rishabhadev is saying, Tad Bhavantam Prajanam. By worshipping Bharat Maharaj, you'll worship me. Worship to Bharata is actually equal to worship of me. And by worshipping Bharat Maharaj, you'll automatically protect the citizens. So in this way, we see that although scriptures talk about how one should not be attached to material relations, but the same scriptures tell that if those relatives are actually great devotees, one should actually serve them. Like Rishabhadev is saying that you should serve your eldest brother. So it is not simply about being detached from the materialistic association, or being detached from the relatives and family. It is about develop attachment towards the devotees of the Lord, or serving the devotees. So even if they are our relatives. So then, we also see in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narada Muni goes to preach to the sons of Daksha Prajapati, it's explained that Daksha Prajapati, his service was to increase the population. So initially he had produced 10,000 sons called Haryashvas. And then he sent them for performing austerities at Narayana Saras. So when they went to perform austerities, Narada Muni came and actually converted all of them. He actually preached to them to renounce. And he made them into renunciants as sannyasis. So when Daksha Prajapati came to know, he became very angry. But then he was determined in his service. So he produced 1,000 more sons. And he sent them to the same place for training. So Prabhupada talks about the importance of training. Although Daksha Prajapati sent his 10,000 sons, and all his 10,000 sons were converted by Narada Muni, and then when he produced 1,000 sons, he again sent them to the same place because he wanted them to perform austerities before entering householder life. So Prabhupada says how it is important to give training, how Daksha Prajapati was determined to give training to them in the form of telling them to perform austerities. So again Narada Muni comes and then converted them into renunciants. And then when Daksha Prajapati came to know, he became very angry. So then when Narada Muni comes in front of Daksha Prajapati, he starts cursing Narada Muni. He starts criticizing Narada Muni in different ways. In one of the verses, Daksha Prajapati says that when a person goes through this Brahmachari ashram and then Grahastha ashram, then after going through the Grahastha ashram, then he will develop the, after experiencing the householder life, one will actually, one will develop renunciation, then he will become, then he will be properly mature in his renunciation. So one should go through this ashram. So when a person directly jumps to the renounced ashram without having the proper, without having the experience, then he will again become attached to sense gratification. So it is not good for him. So but you have actually done a such a injustice to my sons by directly inspiring them to take to the renounced order. So there Srila Prabhupada says that when a person goes through experience, that does not mean that he will always actually develop renunciation. Use an example, just like when a lady goes through the labor pain, many times she makes a decision that I will again not give birth to a child. This is the last child because of their experience of the pain. But then although she experienced that pain, she makes that decision at that time. But then she again gives birth to more children later. So he says that experience does not necessarily lead to wisdom or renunciation. But what actually, in order to get renunciation, what is really needed is one has to get the blessings of the devotees. So one may go through the experience, but still one may not develop the renunciation. But one may not go through the experience, but if a person gets the blessings of the devotees without going through that experience, one can actually get that realization, one can get renunciation. So basically the point which Prabhupada makes is the power of the blessings of the devotees. When a person gets the blessings of the devotees without going through the experience, without spending so many years in the householder life, one can actually get, one can develop the renunciation. So blessings of the devotees save so many years and one can, it leads to renunciation. But then, so this is one aspect of the blessings of the devotees. But there is also higher aspect of the blessings of the devotees. So that is explained in a purport in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when Priyavrat Maharaj was performing austerities on the top of Gandhamadan hill, so that time Swayambhu Manu comes to Priyavrat Maharaj. He comes to Priyavrat Maharaj to pursue him to become the king, because at that time there was no king. So Swayambhu Manu had two sons, Priyavrat Maharaj and Uttanupad. So Uttanupad ruled Priyavrat Maharaj right from his birth. He was like very much detached. So he was a brahmachari performing austerities under the guidance of Narada Muni. So Uttanupad became the king. And then after Uttanupad, Dhruva Maharaj became the king. And then the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, they were ruling the kingdom up to the Prachetas, the sons of Prachina Barhishat. So then after the Prachetas gave birth to Daksha. And this Daksha Prajapati went to perform austerities. So because he went to perform austerities, he was performing austerities for practically for 3 manvantaras. At that time there was no king. So Swayambhu Manu goes to Priyavrat Maharaj, who was performing austerities for thousands of years at the top of Gandhamadan hill, to pursue him to take the responsibility of kingship. So but then Priyavrat Maharaj, he did not want to become the king. So he did not accept the proposal of Swayambhu Manu. So because Swayambhu Manu, because he rejected the proposal of Swayambhu Manu, at that time Lord Brahma himself comes from the Satya Loka along with Lord Shiva and the four Vedas personified. So when Lord Brahma comes, Lord Brahma smiles at Priyavrat Maharaj, and he mercifully glances towards Priyavrat Maharaj, and he also smiles at Priyavrat Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and she says why actually Lord Brahma is glancing at Priyavrat Maharaj and why does he smile at Priyavrat Maharaj. So Lord Brahma has a merciful glance towards Priyavrat Maharaj because Lord Brahma is thinking, he's saying that I have actually come to make you give up your renunciation. You are performing austerities as a brahmachari, but have come to interrupt in your devotional service and have come to interrupt in your renunciation. So that is why he is actually having a merciful glance, because he is going to trouble Priyavrat Maharaj. So he is actually feeling little pity towards Priyavrat Maharaj. I came to impede in your austerities. But then he is having a merciful glance, because he is saying that although I may be interrupting in your devotional service, although I am going to make you give up your renunciation and make you take up the position of a king, but your devotional service, your love for the Supreme Lord will only increase, although you will be surrounded by so many opulences. So there Srila Prabhupada writes a purport. He says, by the blessings of Lord Brahma, although Priyavrat Maharaj will become the king, although Priyavrat Maharaj will be surrounded by so many opulences, but his love for the Supreme Lord will only increase. His devotional service will only increase. So this is the even higher blessing of a devotee. So when a person gets the blessings of a devotee, one develops detachment towards family, relatives, etc. But when a person gets even higher blessings, then although one may be surrounded by material opulences, although one may be surrounded by relatives, family members, wives, etc., but still one will actually completely situated on the transcendental platform. So here we see that by the blessings of Lord Brahma, Priyavrat Maharaj's devotional service is going to only increase, although he is going to give up his renunciation and take the position of a king. And Lord Brahma is smiling at Priyavrat Maharaj because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says it is like a competition between a grandson and a grandfather. So grandson is thinking, no, I am not going to become a king. I am going to continue my austerities. Priyavrat Maharaj is thinking like that. But Lord Brahma is saying that you are stubborn in your austerities, but I am stubborn in my decision to make you convinced to become the king. Let me see whose stubbornness will win. So in this way, he is smiling at Priyavrat Maharaj. So basically the point is, by the blessings of a devotee, that although one may be actually surrounded by material opulences, one can be one will not be attached to them, but one will actually one's devotional service will only increase. So in this regard, I just remembered one verse in the first canto. I'll just read this verse. It's a very interesting verse. Yeah. So, in the first canto, in the chapter on Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka, it's explained, Yetad Ishanam Ishasya Prakritistopi Tadgunai Na Yugair Sadatmastair Yata Buddhist Tadashriya. He says, this is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. So in the previous verse it is explained that how Lord Krishna, although he was surrounded by 16,108 queens, although the queens of Krishna, they would glance at Lord Krishna, they would have furtive glances at Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna's senses were never agitated by their glances. So after this verse, this work is spoken. This it is said that even though Krishna is in contact with so many wives, he is not affected by the qualities of material nature. And then he says, similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. So when a person takes shelter of the Lord then and receives the blessings of the Lord, even though he is in the midst of the material opulences, he will not be affected by them. So again, in the case of Prevrat Maharaj, it is explained in the 5th canto, when Lord Brahma is trying to pursue Prevrat Maharaj to take up the position of a king. So he is speaking a series of verses to convince Prevrat Maharaj. First, Lord Brahma is telling to Prevrat Maharaj, he is saying that how the living entities are completely dependent on the Supreme Lord. So in 3 verses he says, first he says that the living entities are dependent on the Supreme Lord for getting their material bodies. Just like, he says, just like the citizens, they accept the agricultural land or a prison sentence by the order of a king. So similarly, the living entities are dependent on the Supreme Lord, dependent on the order of the Supreme Lord to accept the material bodies. But living entities get their bodies according to their good or bad qualities. So first he says living entities are dependent on the Supreme Lord to get the material bodies. Then he says living entities are not only dependent on the Supreme Lord to get the material bodies, but they are also dependent on the Supreme Lord to perform the different activities when they have the material bodies. So he gives an example, just like an oxen which is tied to a particular pole by the rope. Because it is tied to a particular pole by the rope, it does not have independence. It can move only in a particular area. So similarly, all the living entities are tied to the Supreme Lord by the rope of Vedic injunctions according to their different qualities and work. So depending on our nature, one has to execute the different duties according to the Varnashram Dharma. So we are dependent on the Supreme Lord even for performing our activities. So just like an oxen is tied to a pole by the rope, similarly the living entities are tied by the rope of Vedic injunctions to the Supreme Lord to perform their activities. Then in the next verse, Lord Brahma is saying the living entities are dependent on the Supreme Lord even for enjoying the results of their work. So they are dependent on the Supreme Lord to get the material bodies, they are dependent on the Supreme Lord to perform the activities, and then he says they are dependent on the Supreme Lord even to enjoy the result of their activities. They are dependent on the Supreme Lord to enjoy happiness or distress. So he gives another example. He says that one may think that, so when a person gets distress, one may think, oh, this is the fault of the Supreme Lord. Why is he giving me distress? So one may find fault with the Supreme Lord. But actually, Supreme Lord gives happiness or distress only according to our good or bad activities we perform. So he gives an example. Just like, suppose a blind person is guided by a person with vision. So there are 2 paths. One path is a shady path, but it is filled with thorns. But another path does not have thorns, but in that path there is the scorching heat of the sun. So a person with vision will guide the blind person in the path which is not having thorns, although it may be having the scorching heat of the sun. So a blind person should not criticize a person with vision. Why is he taking me in this path? Because he may not, because the other path, although it may be shady, but it's filled with thorns. So That is why the person with vision is not taking him on that path. So blind person should have faith in the person who has vision, that although he is taking me in this path which is actually filled with scorching heat of the sun, so this is the path meant for me. So similarly, one should have faith in the Supreme Lord, that Supreme Lord is giving me for my own benefit. So in this way, Lord Brahma is saying that how your living entity is dependent on the Supreme Lord for everything, to get the material bodies, to perform the activities, to enjoy the happiness or distress. So therefore, one should not criticize the Supreme Lord. So basically, Lord Brahma is telling to Prayavrata Maharaj, it is a desire of the Supreme Lord that you become the king. It is not my this thing, it is a desire of the Supreme Lord. So you should obey the order of the Supreme Lord. Then the next verse, Prayavrata Maharaj is asking a question. He is saying that Prayavrata Maharaj may question, but then this applies to a person with ignorant, this applies to a action of an ignorant person, not to a jnani who is above the knots of karma. Okay, a person who is ignorant, he has to act according to his nature. He has to act according to his according to the varnashram dharma. He has to perform the duties according to that. But a person who is above the knots of karma, who is already liberated, he does not need to follow this rules of the varnashram dharma. So then in regards to that, Lord Brahma is saying, muktopi yavad, he is saying that even if one is liberated, he nevertheless accepts the body he has received according to his past karma. So even if a person is liberated, even such a person, he accepts his body according which has obtained because of his past prarabdha karma. So even such a person will perform the activity in that body. He gives an example, just like when a person is sleeping, he gets different dreams. So when he wakes up, although a person is, he may be liberated, but he still remembers the dream. And then he remembers the dream, but then he performs activities not being attached to the situation in the dream. So similarly, a liberated person, even he performs activities according to the material body he has obtained. He does not reject the activities which he is supposed to perform. So he is saying, in this way, Lord Brahma is telling to Prayavrata Maharaj, you may think you are liberated, but then you should perform activities according to your nature. You should become the king. So then he says that Prayavrata Maharaj asks a question, but then, though I am dependent on the Supreme Lord, okay, I understand that I am dependent on the Supreme Lord, but then, if I leave my present position in the forest and take up to householder life, then it will be harmful to me. If I leave this present position in the forest, if I take up to householder life, then it will be harmful to me. So in response to that, Lord Brahma is saying that a person who is not completely detached, for such a person, whether he is in the forest or whether he is in the householder life, it will not make any difference, because he has already conquered the senses. On the other hand, if a person has not conquered the senses, because the senses are the real enemies. So even such a person is within the forest, then because he is living with his enemies, that enemies will create trouble for him. So he is saying that, if you are really detached, then you should not have any problem, whether you enter householder life, whether you live in the forest. Then in the next verse he is saying that when a person is desiring to conquer the senses, when a person desires to conquer the senses, he should enter the householder life. So he says, just like suppose a person has to attack the enemies, so many enemies are attacking him. If you have to attack the enemies, first you should take shelter of a fort. And then when you take shelter of a fort, then it is easy to attack the enemies. If you yourself, if a person does not have shelter, and then if he tries to attack the enemies, then it is like a dangerous situation. So similarly, when a person tries to conquer the senses, if he takes shelter of the fort of householder life, and then if he takes shelter of the fort of householder life, then by the taking shelter of the fort of householder life, then the enemies will become little weak, because they cannot exert their full force. When they try to attack, you can little go inside the fort. And then in this way you can subdue the power of the enemies, then you can easily conquer the enemies. So the enemies are compared to the senses. If a person is desiring to conquer the senses, then when a person enters the householder life, when a person takes shelter of the fort of householder life, then it is easy to conquer the senses. So then he says, Tvam Tvabjanabhangri Saroja Kosha Durga Shrito Nirjita Shat Sapanna Bungshveha Bogan Purushati Dishtan Vimukta Sangha Prakritim Bhajasva. He is saying that Lord Brahma says, my dear Priyavrata, take shelter inside the opening in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma is telling to Priyavrata Maharaj not to take shelter of the householder life, but he is saying, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And he is saying, whose navel is also like a lotus. So thus conquer the six sense organs and accept material enjoyment, because the Lord has ordered you to do this. So here he is making a point. The Lord Brahma is telling to Priyavrata Maharaj, because Priyavrata Maharaj has already conquered the senses. He is on the liberated platform. He is not telling Priyavrata Maharaj to take shelter of the householder life to conquer the senses. He is saying, you take shelter of the Supreme Lord, and you should know that this opulence which you are going to get, the kingship, it is actually given by the Supreme Lord. It is not the result of your past karma. So when you get opulences given by the Supreme Lord, that will not entangle you. So Prabhupada writes for long purport. I'll just write one sentence. He's saying that a sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching the cult all over the world will never be attached, will never be attracted by the Vishaya Taranga material influences. On the contrary, in due course of time, he will return to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus have perpetual association with him. So Lord Brahma is concluding to Priyavrata Maharaj by saying that because this material opulence is given by the Supreme Lord, this will not entangle you, and you take shelter of the Supreme Lord to conquer the senses. So in this way we understand the point that when the material opulence is given by the Supreme Lord, that will not entangle a person. So here Vamanadeva is telling to Bali Maharaj that you go to Sutal Loka and enjoy the opulences there. So because the opulence of Sutal Loka are given by the Supreme Lord, that is never going to distract Bali Maharaj from his devotional service. Just like in the case of Priyavrata Maharaj also, Lord Brahma is saying that because all these opulences are given by the Supreme Lord, so it is not going to distract you from your devotional service. In fact, it is only going to increase your love for Krishna. So in this way, today we saw that how we first saw from the instructions of Rishabhadev that how, although he was in the beginning of his instruction, he was condemning attachment towards relatives and family members. He was at the end of the instruction, he was telling his sons to serve his eldest brother Bharat Maharaj, because Bharat Maharaj is the great devotee of the Lord. And then we saw that what is the power of the blessings of a devotee from the example of Narada Muni, that how by the blessings of Narada Muni that Harishas and Savalashvas, without going through the experience of householder life, they actually develop renunciation. And then we talked about how the greater blessing of a devotee is that how a person, although he may be midst of the material opulences, because it is given by the Supreme Lord, he will not be affected by that situation. We also quoted that verse from the first canto from the chapter on Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka. And then we talked about Lord Brahma's instruction to Priyavrat Maharaj, which also tell the same point, that how Priyavrat Maharaj will not be affected by the situation because the opulence are given by the Supreme Lord. So I'll stop here. Salary time, I'll stop. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.